And welcome to the Sunday morning adult discussion group here at Wings Christian Fellowship, where we love our Lord and we just love to talk about Him and soak up His presence, soak up His Spirit even more to a higher degree.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord.
Yes, He is.
Jesus is Lord.
Praise God.
Oh, He's in control of all things. The worlds were made by Him thinking about it. It's just amazing. God is so good.
Yes,
it looks like today we're going to be in chapter 11 of Matthew. And we need somebody to pray for us today. Who wants to volunteer, Mike?
That sounds like the Army.
I'm
sorry. Whoever wants to do it, step forward, and all of them got to step back. No,
Father, thank you for another opportunity today to come and gather in your name. And Father, just to read your word and discuss your word and to take it into our psyche and to just continue to walk in it. Thank you for bringing Etta here today. Sunshine is back. We got a little sunshine. And we give you all the praise and glory. Amen.
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 Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Praise God.
Where's the little things we let?
This morning we're going to be in chapter 11 in Matthew. Who's reading this morning? Buddy or Brenda?
I am.
Buddy's.
Oh. I volunteered Mike and Brenda volunteered you, right?
When Jesus had finished his charge to his 12 disciples, he left there to teach and to preach in the Galilean cities. Mm-hmm. Now when John in prison heard about the activities of Christ, he sent a message by his disciples and asked him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we keep on expecting a different one?" And Jesus replied to them, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed by healing, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have good news. The gospel preached to them. And blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied is he who takes no offense at me and finds no cause for stumbling in or through me and is not hindered from seeing the truth."
A lot in there. Of course, they're talking about John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it kind of surprised me, and it shouldn't have, knowing the way human beings are, that John baptized Jesus. John spoke to the people, and he said, "I'm not worthy. You know, a one is coming that I'm not worthy to even unlatch his sandals." Mm-hmm. And he baptized Jesus in the Jordan. And he said, and he heard and saw God come down and say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." And yet there he was, you know, a couple of years, or a year, I don't know how long it came, after Jesus had his 12 together and I think this was after they had gone out two by two. They were able to heal. They were able to cleanse. They were able to do all the miracles that Jesus did because of his anointing on them. And when and there's John sitting in prison, and he sends his friends out to say, wait a minute, where am I here?
If he was the one.
Yeah.
But we don't know what John has been suffering. He was in prison. We don't know what he has been going through and what's been happening. And he hasn't heard what Jesus been doing, even though he has fulfilled what God had him mm-hmm. to do.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in there questioning. But when they went and told him all of that, he didn't say, let him know it is I am. He didn't tell that. He let them go and tell him all what was being done. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was verifying, really, and confirming who he is.
Yeah.
And what all he was doing.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't say, yeah, this is him. Relax, everything's fine. He said, tell him what you hear and what you see. And then he said, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. I think that is really, that's kind of the key to what kind of grabbed me about this.
Well, you have to realize too that probably, and it's not here in the scriptures, but probably over the course of many years, there have probably been many people coming claiming to be the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's always somebody going to come along and say they're it, you know, and
false
prophets and so on and so forth. And yet, you know, Jesus had the works behind it, you know, and, you know, when he told him, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see.
Mm-hmm.
So they witnessed these things. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. You know, and like Kathy just read, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Well, the only people that got offended was the religious folks. I hate to say it, even today, they're the ones that get offended. So easy, you know, a lot of times, because they, if it isn't right according to their doctrine or however they're set up, then they get offended, you know. But
and what he's doing is going against some of their memory, because like when they ate and what he performed on the Sabbath to heal the man's, and then he also gave him a parable. You know,
what Kathy was saying before too about Jesus coming to be baptized of John, you know,
yes.
And John basically told him, I have a need to be baptized of you, and he said, suffer it to be so,
mm-hmm.
for to fulfill all righteousness. And literally, Jesus, a lot of people say, was it really necessary to be baptized? Well, it was, because Jesus himself came and was baptized.
Yes.
You know, but not only was he baptized, but it said the Spirit descended like a dove and lighted on him. And when that happened, then, you know, then John basically said, you know, there comes one mightier than me who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, you know, whose fan is in his hand, you know.
Yes.
And that word for fan there is a word that's called, it's actually winnowing fork. Mm. The true definition of that word is winnowing fork. And what winnowing fork did in those days is that when stuff was on the threshing floor, and after it had been run over with carts and everything else to break the chaff off the wheat, they would stick the winnowing fork down in it and throw it up in the air.
So there was separation.
So that the wind, which the Spirit of God is the wind, you know,
yes.
He's like the wind, that it would blow the chaff away,
yeah.
And the fruit would fall back to the ground, and then they could collect it up, you know. So in your life, don't be surprised when he runs the cart over you a few times to break some of the chaff off of you, and he flips you up in the air, and the Spirit of God blows through you or around you or to you or in you or whatever, and begins to separate the wheat from the chaff. And I'm not going to say a lot because I'm going to let you guys say everything you want to say, but you know, one of the first sermons I had Brother Eddie preach was about the wheat and the chaff. And the chaff is necessary until the wheat is fully mature. So a lot of times, if you got some chaff in your life, and it hasn't all been taken away, just hang in there, because God knows how to take it away when it's the time, and he knows how to blow through your life and to separate it. And, you know, that helped me a lot when Brother Eddie preached that sermon, because I had given my life to the Lord at home, and, you know, I still felt like I was still sometimes doing things I shouldn't do or saying things I shouldn't say or whatever, you know, and that kind of thing. And then when Brother Eddie preached that sermon, it helped me a lot, because it let me know that sometimes chaff is necessary, you know. And I mean, God allows it to be there. And the only reason he allows it to be there, I think, is to keep you humble, to keep you realizing that you can't do this thing without him, and keep you seeking his face, you know. Now I'll be quiet now. I just thought I'd throw that out there a little bit.
I think maybe it'd be good to go on a little bit more, because there's some really, I think there's some really good stuff in here. Questions that we could really address. And he said, as they departed, I'm reading verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John. He started talking. And there, to the multitudes, you know, there's a bunch of people there. And they were probably mostly started out as John's disciples. And he says, what did you, I have to paraphrase just a little so it makes a little more sense to me. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? Now, Jesus knew everything. A reed shaken in the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in the king's houses. But, yes, and again, but what did you go out there to see? A prophet? Yeah, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare my way before thee. And then he says, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, well, how many have been born of women? There hath not one risen greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven. Now that's a statement. That's a statement. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. I think that'd be something good. These questions, he says, what did you go out there to see? What were you expecting? What did you think was going to happen?
Well, let me ask you a question, and what you guys think about this. In modern day today, you go out to a meeting, and you go out a lot of times, and you know it's some big name minister, this, that, whatever. What is he dressed in?
The raiment.
What kind of raiment?
Yeah. Fine raiment.
$1,000 suits, $10,000 suits,
yes.
Custom made suits, custom this, custom that. So what went you out to see? You know what I'm saying? And to a certain extent, that prosperity gospel has pretty much, it's wrecked the kingdom to a certain extent, because it's just the prosper, 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 prosper. And what does the guy leave on? Does he leave on a donkey out in the parking lot? No, he leaves in a probably a $200,000 or $300,000 car sitting out there. So
it only takes him to the airport and he gets on his jet.
His jet, that's right. Yeah. So not judging in the sense that, you know, I heard a minister say one time, he's a real well known minister. If I told you his name, you would know who it is. He had an altar call, and these people came up, and this one guy came up, And he's standing in front of him, and he talks to him a little bit, and the guy tells him he's a minister too. And while he's standing there getting ready to pray for the guy, he felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, "Did you see his clothes, his pants?" And he answered, you know,
to God.
Inside himself, he said, "Yes, Lord, I saw his pants." He said, "You see how shiny they were?" You know, when you wear pants a long time, they get shiny. When they get shiny, you've worn them for a long time. I probably got some shiny ones in my closet. But anyway, he said, "Do you see his shoes?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, I see his shoes." He said, "You see how scuffed up and worn they are?" He said, "Yes, Lord, I see how scuffed up and worn they are." And then the Lord said, "He loves me more than you." He said, I went home and cried and cried and cried.
Yeah.
Because
yes.
I realized, you know, all of this trappings and all this other stuff was not about God, you know. And I thought, what a tremendous testimony. And you know what? God has to bring us down to reality. I heard another minister say one time, this young lady came up, old lady really, actually. I'm calling her young, but she was an old lady. She was retired. And they were doing the offering, and they were having you come up and put your offering in the bucket, you know. And I'm not really good about people doing that because it puts people in an awkward position. You know, give like you feel like the Lord tells you to give. But anyway, she came up, and he's standing there, and she puts her Social Security check in there. And he looks at her, and he tells her, no, you take this back. She said, "No, the Lord told me to put that in there." He said, no, you take this back. And she started crying. She said, "The Lord told me to put that in there." It makes me cry just to think about it. And she turned around and she walked away. And he said, and when she walked away, the Lord said, "I'm going to allow millions of dollars to pass through your ministry. And I want you to know where it's coming from." Mm-hmm. It'll be coming from people like that. And I've had people say to me, who have a lot, say to me about other people giving, you know, other people that have a lot giving in the church. And I said, "Look," I said, "I don't tell people what people give because, you know, basically we know because we take the offerings and put them in the bank or whatever and stuff." So, but I said, "Let me tell you something. This person was telling me about this other person, and I said, let me tell you something. I said, I normally don't say this. I said, the people who give the most in this church are the people who have the least." Mm-hmm. And that's the truth. And you know, Jesus stood one time and he watched people putting their money in cashing their money in the treasury in front of the temple. And one woman come up and she cast what would be a pence in there, whatever that is, a penny or whatever it is. And Jesus marveled at it. And they said, "Well, why do you marvel at that?" He said, "Because the other have of their abundance have given, and she's given all that she had. And her penny was greater than all of the other things that were put in there." And you know,
that was because of her heart.
That's right, because she was willing to give all she had. Not just some. You know, a lot of people, you know, will give money and it'll be a sizable amount of money sometimes. But is it really a tithe, or is it beyond the tithe, or is it, if the Lord told them to give it all of what they got, would they do it? You know. And that's a question we all have to ask ourselves, you know, at times. If God spoke to you and said, "I want you to give everything you got," would you be willing to do it? You know?
I had an aunt that, when she got saved, Lord, she would love the Lord. She had been in fortune tell all kind of stuff. I mean, God saved her and delivered her. She used to come with us down to Elmwood.
Right.
And then she was over at World Harvest, then she was in the prayer room, George, pray for his interceptor, pray. And she said, God has had, she said, I tithe, but I don't tithe of my, of the net. I tithe from the gross. She said, like, before, you know, how all the taxes and all your other things come out and you're left there. She said, God has put it on my heart to tithe.
You know what?
You know, and this is what put, you know, on her, and that's how she always did it. She told me that. Yeah. God really.
And I bet you God blessed her. I bet she never was in want. Mm-hmm. I guarantee she wasn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I she probably never wanted for anything that she needed.
She was dying and at the hospital. Yeah.
I had a brother talk to me one time, and we helped him at the church many times, you know. Sizable amount of money sometimes helped him pretty good years ago. And I sat him down and talked to him because I knew he wasn't a giver, you know. Now, I don't do that with people, but I felt like I was supposed to do that with him. And I told him, I said, brother, I said, I'm going to tell you something. I said, you know, you're always in a financial strait. You're always having financial problems and need money for this, money for that, and so on and so forth. I said, if you start giving, God will increase you. And I said, you don't give to get increased. You give because you know that you should. I mean, you know that's pleasing to God, and it does you good is what it does too. It's not. It's, I like what Benny Skinner said one time. He said, I give to get. I give to give to get. Give to get. Give to get. Well, I don't feel like you should give to get. I feel like you should give. And then however God blesses you, then he'll bless you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and just to go on with that a little bit, I've told this story before. Me and Margaret were in church one time when the kids were little bitty kids. They were just real little. Jennifer was probably 3 or 4 or something like that. And Mark was probably 1 or 2 or something. Well, they were 3 years apart. So if she was 4, he would have been 1. They were little anyway. So we're sitting in church, and I wasn't one of the elders then or anything like that. And we'd given our tithes in the morning, and this was an evening service. And they passed around the basket, and I had $3 in my pocket, $3. And I felt like I was supposed to put my $3 in the offering. And I put, and I'm not saying this to any way lift me up. I'm just telling you this is an example. I gave the $3. I didn't notice when the plate passed if Margaret did anything or not, but Margaret put in $2. She reaches over and she whispers in my ear and she says, we need to stop and get some milk on the way home. I said, well, I don't have any money. I whispered back to her, I don't have any money. And I said, don't you have any money? She says, no, she said, I don't have any money either. She said, I put my last $2. Now, this was many years ago. You know, $2 was more money than it is right now.
Yeah.
But anyway, she said, no, I put my last $2 in there. I said, well, I put my last $3 in there. It was $5. Okay. $5. Okay. So, church goes on, and you know, we get ready to leave, and she whispers to me again. She says, we need to stop and get some milk. We get no milk at home. And Mark used to drink milk by the gallon. I mean, that boy, that's why he's so big and strong, I think. That boy could put some milk away, you know, even when he was little. I mean, he'd drink a lot of milk. But anyway, so we're getting ready to go out of the church. And nobody had overheard our conversation. We were sitting on one side of the church. Somebody from the other side of the church that was sitting up toward the front, you know, which there was no way in the world they could have heard anything that we were saying or anything like that, handed me a piece of folded paper. So I stick it in my pocket, you know, and I didn't look at it. It was just a piece of folded paper. And I thought, well, it's probably somebody saying bless you or something, you know, something like that. You know, when I stick it in my pocket. We go out, we get in the car. We're in the car, and
Mark says, "We need to stop and get some milk again." I said, "Mark, I ain't got no money. I ain't got no money." And she says, "Well, I ain't got no money either." I said, "Well," and I reached in my pocket and I pulled that piece of paper out and I unfolded it, you know. And there was a $50 bill in there. Mm-hmm. 10 times what we had just put in the offering. Now, did I know God would do that? No. But he does stuff like that. And a lot of people never see the miraculous of God because they don't get obedient. Now, I'm not saying you should do that all the time. I'm saying if you feel like God's directing you to do that, then you do it. And don't worry about whether you're going to, it'll come back to you somehow. I guarantee you it will. Way more than what went on there. I had Sister Audrey one time give me send me a card with a dollar in it. A dollar, okay. And she said, "Brother Audrey," she said, "I felt like the Lord told me to send you this dollar as a seed faith offering, you know." And this was back many years ago, you know, before I was an elder or anything else. So she said, so she gave me a dollar. So I told Mark, I said, "Well, that's nice. She gave us a dollar, you know," and I put it in my pocket. I was probably, a couple of days later, I had a person come up to me who was unemployed. Now, his wife was working, but he was unemployed at the time. And he said, "Brother Oscar," he said, "I feel like the Lord wanted me to give you this money." And he gave me $100. And I said, "Brother," I said, "you know, I don't want to take your money." I said, you're out of work right now and everything. He said, no, I feel like the Lord told me to give this to you." I kind of fussed with him a little bit, you know, telling him, I was trying to talk him out of it. He said, no, he said, "I feel like the Lord, you know." Well, you know, later I told him, I said, "I don't really need any money right now, you know," and I didn't need no money right then. Mm-hmm. That week, which I don't know exactly what happened, but somehow we got overdrawn in our checkbook. You know, we didn't have much money in our savings account or anything. Mm-hmm. hardly anything at all, really. And so Margaret's really great, and I'm sure she can hear this. She's really great because she takes care of the paying the bills and stuff. But she consults me when we make any kind of financial things, and usually I make the ultimate decision most of the time. But anyway, I told her, I said, "How did we get overdrawn?" You know, But anyway, I had that $100, and I took that $100 and put it in there, and it took care of it. You know, but see, God knows, you know what I mean? I didn't need the money at that time, and I actually tried to talk the guy out of it. And I've had other times when people want to give me something, and I try to talk them out of it, you know. But I've tried to learn over the years, quit talking people out of it. If God blesses you, say thank you and thank the Lord, because that's really where it's coming from.
And they're blessed.
And they're going to get blessed. You're right. They're going to get blessed. And I'm going to tell you, over the years, I mean, I've had times when quite a bit of money would come, and I never asked for it. I actually tried to talk people out of giving it to me different times. But, you know, it's one of those situations where that works with everybody, all Christians. If God's inspiring you to do something, do it. Not because somebody's laying a guilt trip on you or anything. Not with that. Because we don't talk about money out there. You know that. Mm-hmm. But I'm just telling you, God will always supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Mm-hmm. And he got a lot of them. And you don't have to preach a blessing gospel or whatever you want to say, because he'll take care of you. I mean, that stuff of trying to hound money, get money from people, that's not God. That's not God there. But anyway, I don't know how we got off on that subject, but anyway, sorry if I took a rabbit trail there, but.
I was thinking while you were talking, and it just keeps going through my mind. It doesn't seem connected, but in my heart, it's feeling connected.
Yeah.
This thing of all things will be revealed.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you were talking about that, that guy in the suit, the cool suit,
uh-huh.
and God revealed something to him.
Yeah.
And he said, everything's going to be made manifest.
Right.
And I don't think these things of when God punches you between the eyes with something that you're not happy that you see in yourself.
Right.
I think it's just like that two-edged sword. It's not to condemn us.
No.
It's to identify that thing.
Right.
And to make us see who we really are.
Right.
And to help us to identify and have correct identity.
Right.
Who we are. He reveals that to us. And then the true humility, the love of God, that how much he really loves you, and you can accept it with humility and accept his righteousness instead of trying to puff up your own righteousness.
Right.
You become who you've always been meant to be. So when you see something in yourself that you feel that God is revealing to mm-hmm. you, and you don't like what you see, thank him for that revelation and walk in that revelation. Wow. And take it to heart and let that change. Let, you know what it says about he can renew your mind. He can rewire your brain. He's a magnificent God.
Yes, he is.
And he can do all these things.
Well, see,
all we have to do is allow him.
The thing about it is, a lot of times, you're just going back to the ministries out there, you know, some of the ministries out there where they have literally mansions. I mean, literally mansions, mm-hmm. bigger than some of the richest people in the world, mm-hmm. you know, and they have multiple airplanes and multiple this and multiple that, and yet they still keep trying to pull the money out of people. And they could probably get more money than they could ever spend in a lifetime. I mean, how much is enough? If they're really doing what God's telling them to do, they'll be giving that money back and sending it out to help people who really need help and stuff like that. I will say this, you know, out of all of the years, and then all the years that I've been involved with this church, now I'll say this, out of all the different ministries that we've had come in here, a lot of different ministries, you know, and deeper truth ministries, and, you know, prophetic ministries, and some ministries were healing ministries, all different kind of things. I've only had, that I know of, two ministers who have ever come in here who gave money back to this church, or who didn't take the offering, mm-hmm. or who said, you know, I'm going to give you the offering back, put it toward your youth group, or put it toward this, or put it toward that, you know. Now, I'm telling you, and I will say this, even with Clarice, when she was here, a lot of people, you know, Clarice is kind of, she's flamboyant. She is very flamboyant. And I mean, I laugh at sometimes some of the stuff that she says. And I don't keep up with her, and I don't know where she's at right now. I don't know what she's doing that much, you know. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying, in times past, when they mm-hmm. came here, that before this service started, her husband came and sat down in the front row with me, and he handed me a check. And the check said, tithing check. And he gave, you know, I think it was $100. I think it was $100, as if I remember right. And I'm not saying this to lift them up or anything like that, but I'm saying they were tithing before they ever received an offering. And our church is small. We don't usually get huge offerings, you know, from people when they come. I mean, sometimes, there's times when they'll get $300 or $400, or sometimes $500, something like that. And sometimes if it's a real low offering, I'll kick in some money, or I'll let the church kick in some money to get them up to where it's a decent offering, you know what I mean. But anyway, that particular night, they gave $100. Their offering was $1,000. And it wasn't given by somebody rich or anything like that. It was the general offering. Mm-hmm. It was $1,000. 10 times what they gave. And I'm just telling you, there's a principle there, and it, and you don't do it to get. You just do it because you feel like you're supposed to. And I don't, God sometimes will bless you in other ways, not just financially, but it'll be some other way or something. But there is such a strong principle there, if you'll be obedient to what God tells you to do or inspires you to do. And half of the time, if you don't do it later on, you'll walk out the door and you'll know you should have done it. You know what I mean? Because he'll let you know that you should have done it. You know what I mean? But, you know, it's one of those situations, like I say, where...
Well, it's like you were saying before, yeah, about the prosperity ministries.
Yeah.
And I have no problem with that, but what they don't go is just what you were saying.
Right.
They don't come back and keep saying, God's going to bless you, God's going to bless you, uh-huh, God's going to bless you. But it's a two-way street. They don't go to the next, a lot of them don't go to the next step.
Well,
they'll tell you, and then when the service is over, you walk out, you're still the same person you are when you walked in.
Right.
You know, and... Well, that's where the change has to come.
Well, we had one person who used to come years ago, and they came pretty often. I mean, a minister. Mm-hmm. And somebody told me they asked this person, you know, what ministries did he give anything to? And he says, well, I give it to me. Well, that's not necessarily what God's calling you to do. If he's telling you to tell people, given shall be given unto you, if you're giving it only to you, then you're not doing what, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, and a lot of times, I'm going to tell you, the people who are like that, they're struggling financially all the time. And this particular person, one time this church gave him a car. We bought him a car, you know. But after I heard that, I'm gonna tell you the truth. I would when they take an offering for that person, I would give what I felt like I was supposed to give, but I wouldn't have went overboard with it because I knew that they were being so selfish with what God gave them. You know that.
When I say it has to be a two-way street, you
yeah.
know, it doesn't always have to be money.
No, it doesn't.
It has to be, maybe you help someone, or maybe you just gave to someone who needed a kind word and, you know, needed to hear something. You know, that's more important than the money, you know.
Well, you need to do whatever God's telling you to do. If he's telling you to go and give somebody a word, you need to go give them a word.
Yeah, right.
That's right. If he's telling you to give them something, give it to them. You know, if the Lord lays it on your what would you say? He said if you have two coats and somebody needs a coat, give them a coat.
Give them a coat.
You know, I mean,
that kind of a.
And that's just very basic Christianity when you get down to it. That's very basic.
That kind of a mindset.
Yeah.
That kind of a life.
Right.
Where he's in a ministry where he's taking money from people and then giving it to himself,
right.
That touches every single part of his ministry,
yeah,
or her ministry. There's an aura around that where they can't change a person's life. They can't speak a word to change a person's life because they're blocking
the
God's
flow of God.
Will because yeah. they're not doing
right.
God's will. God tells them to do something. They're not obeying God's will. They're obeying their own ego.
Well, I can tell you this particular person one time, and I know we're kind of getting off the subject here, but I can tell you this particular person one time, I went to a home meeting. They happened to be in town, and I went to a home meeting that they were at. And some of the things they said, I just absolutely totally disagreed with.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew the Lord had shown me different than that.
Mm-hmm.
And that person was so well liked by the people that was at this meeting, and it was people from this church years ago, many years ago, that when I said something, you know, I got a little bit of backlash from people.
Yes.
But you know what? I only said what I felt like I was
yes.
supposed to say,
yes.
you know. And, you know, this person was talking about submission. And what I found out was, after knowing this person for a long time, they wanted people to submit to them, but they were not willing to submit to any authority themselves. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
And I'll tell you what, that's a big red sign hanging up, you know, that if that person, you know, if you can't submit to the authority that God places around you too, you're not the only authority, you never are. That's why when we have elders meetings, you know, I had one say. There was all the elders, they had a say too. There was times when they said stuff that I didn't really agree with. But we did it anyway because that's the way they voted, you know what I mean? And that's the one thing that I always told the brothers when they became an elder. I told them, I said, you know, don't do what Oscar does. Do what God tells you to do. If you disagree with something, say you disagree with it. Pray about it. Do what you feel like the Lord tells you to do. That don't mean everybody's going to agree with you or whatever, no matter who you are. But, you know, it's one of those situations where, like I say, you can tell a lot of times in ministries when you know, if they get rebuked a little bit and they can't take it, then they don't never need to be saying anything to anybody else themselves. You know what I'm saying? And
well, it's just like what we were reading here. What did you expect to see?
Right.
You know?
Right.
What did you expect? Did you expect to see someone standing up there and, you know, it's perception,
right?
And it's not what I mean. It's just the whole thing that we read today was part of what it was.
Right.
He here's the Savior of the whole world walking amongst John the Baptist when he baptized him, and he's in prison, and he's going, well, that's not the perception I have of him. Well, tell me who he is.
Yeah.
Is he the real deal?
Well, when you think somebody's a king, they're a king, you know.
Yeah. That's
what you're expecting to see.
That's what you're expecting to see.
I mean, you know, I will say this. A lot of the ministries nowadays, when you see those guys get up in front of the people and talk and preach and stuff, a lot of them are just dressed normal. You know, they're not, they don't have some, a lot of them don't have a $5,000 suit or something, but there's still many of them that do, you know. And I don't begrudge anybody for having decent things, you know what I mean?
Of course.
But there's a line between decent and something that's extreme, you know what I mean? And a lot of the ministries out there, they go way too extreme, you know.
I think it's time for us to close for today, but I want to remember next week when we start, I'd like to talk a little bit about that. You know, it says something about great, he's greater than any of the this and that, John the Baptist, but least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And I think that's something that we really need to get into.
That's a good thing. There's a lot of things you could say about that.
So let's think about that, and we'll kind of start right in there next week, if God is willing. Yeah. So, who wants to close in prayer? Buddy, I think you're nominated.
We just thank you for the word that was shared here today, and we thank you for your wisdom, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, just have your way in our hearts today, and that the word that's coming from the pulpit be a word to all of us, Father.
Yes.
Please bless this group and bless Etta.
Yes.
Father, just have your way today.
Thank you, Lord.
I ask it all in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.